So, we are on page 33, and we are continuing about in the procedures of Bedikas Chametz. And again, we're going to try to do more inside than outside, but I'm not particularly good at remembering to do that. You can remind me. We now know where we're supposed to look. We also, we're now on, let's assume we're on the night of the 14th, where we're going to be looking, although we also noted if it's any time within 30 days prior to Pesach and you're going away, you still have an obligation to look. However, the only time you have an obligation to make a bracha is the night of the 14th. Says the Gemara, this is found on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph Imsachim. By the way, the Rush has a comment on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph Imsachim, or Mid Zayin Beis. Somewhere there in Imsachim, it says, if you want to know who's the Talmud Chacham, see if they know when to make the appropriate brachos. Interesting, that's where you go to, because it can get rather complex. The Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, who we learned about today in Tainus. Habodik, the person who searches, sarach shivarach, needs to make a bracha. Immediately, what does that tell us? That searching is not a mere procedure, but it happens, it has to be some sort of mitzvah of some sort, or you wouldn't make a bracha on it. Right? We don't make a bracha when you erect the sukkah. Why not? Now, there's a Yerushalmi that says you do. But for the most of us, or when you set up the menorah, you're not making a bracha, because that's just a procedure to allow us to perform whatever the mitzvah may be. The fact we're already starting to make a bracha now seems to imply there's more to bedikah than simply ridding the house of chametz. Or it's telling us that part of ridding the house of chametz in and of itself is part of the mitzvah of Pesach, probably more likely, which we'll discuss in a few moments, the idea of tashbisu. Okay, Maim of Arach, so what are you making? What bracha are you making? Rav Papi Omar, Mishmei Derava, Levayer Chametz. The bracha is Asher Krishanu Metosif Banu Levayer Chametz, to destroy Chametz. Papa Amar Mishmei Derabba Al Biur Chametz. It's on the destruction of Chametz. What is the difference between when we say Al in a bracha versus when we say Le Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos versus Al Biur Chametz? Why sometimes Le, sometimes Al? That's a whole discussion that's sourced in the Gemara here. It might depend on who the mitzvah is incumbent upon. It might depend on if it's a mitzvah only a person could do and you can't farm out to an agent or not. That is its own discussion, not for now, but just know that exists. That sometimes we have a text that says, oh, sometimes we say, leh, there's a reason behind that. Okay. Bila avar, kuliyam lo pligi divide the haba mashma. Ki pligi al bir marsav bikar mashma, marsav al haba mashma, hilksa al bir chametz. Okay, I'm not going to get into the details of, again, this nuanced debate, the point is, or the nuance of debate, the bracha is al biur chametz. So again, ready source back in the Talmud, the bracha is making a bracha. By the way, it's important that source in the Talmud because there are those who are of the opinion, one of them being actually the aforementioned Rush, a bracha not recorded in the Talmud, we do not make. Which is why any bracha found subsequent, we're not going to make, which is why sometimes you open a siddur, there'll be machlokas about, in the morning we say, well, this one people don't realize because most of them have it. Hanos Leyov Koach, and Leyov Koach, the Gra wouldn't make that bracha. Reb Salvechik wouldn't make that bracha because it's not found in the Talmud. You fast forward two or three pages, we have the bracha we're making before Karbanos, Lo Olmi Adam, we make a bracha there as well. Some say with Hashem's name, some without Hashem's name. Why? It's back to the same debate. Okay, a bracha not found in the Talmud, this is the debate. Great. Next, says the Shulchan Aruch, Kodim Shiat Yidvog, before you brought down Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tuf Lama Beis, that's 432:1, before you start to Bedika, Yivarach Hashir Kedisham and Tos Tzivanu Abir Chametz. Says the Ramah, Mhisle Vodib, below Bracha Yivarach Kol Zman Shalah Sim Bedika So. So he says the Ramah, what happens if a person begins to search and they realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to make the Bracha? So they can make the Bracha so long as they are looking for still looking because, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's still considered overlas yasin, right? A concept that we learned about last year, brachos, I mean, and this year as well, brachos need to be made prior to the action. Well, so long as you're still searching, you have to look. Okay, what about if my thesis is correct, that there is some sort of mitzvah involved, well, what else should we be doing? What other brachos should we be making if this is a once-a-year mitzvah, an opportunity? Shachianu. So why are we not making a Shachianu? So there are a number of reasons brought down. One approach is we do make a Shachianu, and that is at, what do you say? A Kiddush and Seder night. And that's kind of a catch-all. People don't necessarily realize this. The Gemara points out, the Shachianu we make a Kiddush, whether it's on Sukkot or Shavuos or Pesach, is not tied to Kiddush. It's tied to Yom Tov. In fact, the Gemara says a person neglects to make Shachianu a Kiddush, and they're walking in the marketplace in Chol HaMoed, they can still make Shachrianu because Shachrianu is on the on Yom Tov itself. That now that we understand it that way, so Shachrianu you can understand as a catch-all. It's not just a bracha on Yom Tov; it's a bracha on Yom Tov and all the mitzvahs that come along with Yom Tov, which would also bring up. So then, why on Sukkot you're making a separate Shachrianu on lulav? So I believe I mentioned in the past, and this could militate towards a thesis I had, which I didn't substantiate, that what if you argue the mitzvah of lulav and the mitzvah of sukkah are kind of divorced from each other? They happen to coincide in the same week, but they're not. There's something that's separate about them. Could be. Yeah.
But when we make shachianu other times on Yom Tov, we make it ahead, and we have in mind the obligation for the rest of the week. Everything's going ahead. What you're saying is, when we make on Pesach, that shachianu, it's going backwards.
Correct. It's not the strongest thesis. Another reason is we do make a shachianu on things other than, well, we sometimes we make a shachianu on individual mitzvah. Sometimes we make, oh, the shachianu we're making on Megillah, make sure it covers this and it covers that.
Right, so that's still in advance. That's still
so you should know, shachianu is one of these brachas where the Rishonim have all sorts of theories about when we make it, when we don't make it. Because you'll find you make it on a day, other times you make it though on an item. You get a new item. You make it on a mitzvah. So when you make it, when you not make it, they have all sorts of theories. Why are we not making it on Sfiras Omer? Well, why are we not making it on, in fact, on Shabbos? So that Abudaram, his one of the most fascinating approaches, he really tries to have a coherent theory. He says you only make it when it's first Zman L'Zman. It has to be at least every 30 days, which is why he says you don't make it on Shabbos. It's only once a week. You're not making Rosh Chodesh, because sometimes Rosh Chodesh could be less than 30 days. He says, why are you not making it here? Oh, Shachianu, you also only make it when there's Simcha, because you're searching your house and you realize, ooh, I have to get rid of all this chametz. Maybe you're not exactly too excited about it. There's a little bit of pain throwing out all this delicious, you know, gliska yafa. You find this delicious chocolate dain that you have to throw it out. It's painful. He said, so Abudaram writes, no Shachianu because it's not a happy occasion. Interestingly, he says, that's also why you don't make a Shachianu at a bris. No, not such a happy occasion. So another approach. One approach is it's the catch-all of Yom Tov, which again you're right. There are
unless when you're doing the third that I don't know if this even works. That you have in mind that the shachianu you're going to make covers this, but that
yeah you're right. It's not the best. So that one approach again is the catch-all. One approach is again the Abudaram, which I happen to like this Abudaram. It's like I remember when I learned it. I was in Karmi Yavna. I randomly bought an Abudaram. Why? I don't know. I was going through it. I found it. I'm like, this is really cool. But again, there's pain. Another approach, I forgot who said this. Who was it? Taz? I don't remember who said this. No, it wasn't the Taz. It was someone else. I don't remember who said it. They want to argue that because you can't pin down an exact day of Dikas Chametz, because technically you can do it 30 days prior to that, so therefore there's no set time to it. I didn't like that. One of the reasons I don't like this is because clearly there's something unique about the night of B'dikas Chametz. Like A, you're making a bracha. B is, remember we quoted the Yerushalmi, I think it was a Ravid quoted Yerushalmi that said that there's like a din to check the house on that night, which is why we try to do it immediately. Not only is reason, but immediately. So I think there's some problems with that as well. The Meiri points out, I think the next two are the most interesting, at least my opinion, make the most sense. The Meiri says, the idea of checking for chametz that's not the mitzvah, because all we're doing is we're distancing ourselves from an avera. Meaning, it might be a mitzvah to check, but it's not like a mitzvah in the sense like a positive action, and we're going to shake a lulav. Now I'm like doing a real mitzvah. Now here I'm just kind of putting a safeguard in place. Whether we understand, as you remember previously, we had because of Rashi that we're literally removing chametz from house, or Tosfos that look, we did bedikah already, we're just afraid to have the chametz in close proximity. You wake up in the middle of the night, you might come to eat it. However you slice it, says Nimiri, at the end of the day, this is a very different type of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to try to place a safeguard there. And therefore, he said, well, no, it's not somewhere so, it's not, it doesn't generate the same excitement that a shachianu, you know, the excitement that a shachianu, that engenders a shachianu, it's a real excitement. That's a shaking the lulav for the first time. You're excited. Here, it's a safeguard. It's a safeguard, and therefore, it's not a shachianu. So that I like more. What? Do we not make a shachianu on them? Or maybe the shachianu we make at the so it could be that again we have the catch-all situation that but that's prior, which is why it's less of a problem. Meaning we make a shachianu on the kiddush. Keep in mind it's for this, it's for matzah, it's for maror. etc. See that again? That's not, that was a discussion. I don't know if I gave it a shear. I don't know when I gave the shear where I talked about why sukkah might, lulav might be different. But that was part of my thesis then. Again, I don't want to get bogged down the Shachianu aspect, but I just want to go through a couple of them. Another, so the Meiri, I think, is again, it's not so exciting. It's okay, fine. The Beis Yosef points out, and this is going to lead us also to the next part, and that is the what's the formulation of the bracha? It's not al b'dikas chametz. In fact, if you say al b'dikas chametz, you accomplish nothing. It's al bira chametz, on the destruction of chametz, because this is only step one in a two-step process to rid the house of chametz. In fact, says the Beis Yosef, if you just do b'dika and you collect all the chametz and you do a thorough search, you're up to 4 a.m, you have a massive pile of chametz, and then you leave it there, you've accomplished nothing. You can even argue you've actually, it's counterproductive, because according to the opinion that chametz you don't know about, you're not in violation of Bayi Rabbi Matzah, well, now you're going to be in violation because it's sitting right there. So that Beis Yosef basically seems to say, you know why you're not making a shachiyono on this? Because this is just part one of a two-step process to rid the house of chametz. Okay, so why are you not making a bracha on the bior? Again, it's not perfect, but I like that as well. Okay, so those were, I think, five reasons why we don't make a shachiyono. Right, number one was it's included shachiyono with the chag, which can be at any time. Number two was it's usually made on something that has a set time. This, you have 30 days. Like, oh, I don't love that. We pointed out. Number three is there's a tsar, you're a pain that you're losing the chametz. Number four is, I guess, also similar. There's no simcha here because it's just removing this michshol, this fact, the stumbling block, if you will. And number five is because this is a badika without a biur is a nothing. So really, it's too far removed. Okay. By the way, just on the topic of a topic we're not here, the Mishnah Berurah points out a person should wash their hands before they do badika's chametz. Why? So there's the obvious reason of, if your hand, you eat, again, let's see, you know, one of those flaky Danishes, and you start searching your house, you're going to be trailing chametz all over your house. The other approach seems to be, I don't know if it's more Kabbalistic, or it's more of like, before you do a mitzvah, before you daven in the morning, or any time, you should wash your hands. Before you're engaging in a mitzvah, you want to wash your hands. It's almost like taharas haregel even, or another thing it's the first step. To begin Yom Tif, we know a chayav on the taharas haregel, a regular person is supposed to purify themselves before a regel. So wash your hands. By the way, the Rav Shlomo Zalman points out, if you already washed your hands from Maariv, you immediately go to wash to the B'dikas Chametz, you don't need to. Okay. Next. The bracha we make again, we said, is al bir chametz, says to the Mishnah Berurah, even though you're not doing the bir till tomorrow, the bedika, this is kind of like our point we made before. The whole point of the bedika is to burn. In fact, if you don't burn, you're in trouble. It's part of biur chametz. If I say, what is biur chametz? Destroying chametz. Destroying chametz equals searching, destroying. It's one long action, if you will. This is interesting as well. So why do you make a bracha al bitul chametz on the nullification of chametz? It says because most of chametz is nullified in the heart. Meaning, in fact, we point this out as well. What the Tosfos says, as we know, you have a choice. You can either do bitul or you can do b'dika. All right, you can either nullify the chametz or search for it. Why do we do both? So Tosfos pointed out because we're concerned, or Ron pointed out that we're concerned a person could say, oh, I nullify this chametz, I nullify this chametz, I nullify this chametz, it's nothing, it's like dirt to me, and he's staring at his $30,000 liquor collection. Is it really nothing to you? It's very much contingent upon what you actually feel. And because it's contingent upon what you actually feel, that's where something's concerned, bitul doesn't work. Because a person can say as much as they want, but they don't actually believe it. Same reason, says the Mishnah Berurah, to make a bracha on something that's contingent upon one's heart, we don't make brachas on that. Now, there's a long discussion. There are times that we do that when in Zrayim, a person can in his mind say, this is Meiser, this is Truma, and you do make a bracha. What's the difference? Not for now. Okay. What if you forget to make the bracha? So, again, we point this out already. So, as long as you're still searching, you can do it. Fine. Good. The next step is, the Shulchan Aruch points out, a person should not speak from the time that they make the bracha until they begin to search. Why not? Same reason, you don't interrupt at any time before you begin to, you make a bracha and begin to eat. Yeah, it's a hefsek. And if you do speak anything, it's a problem. You have to go back and remake the bracha. Now, That being said, the Ramah goes on and says not only that, a person should really not speak, and you think he's getting it from the Rush, the entire time a person's doing bedikas chametz. What's the idea behind that? So that's not about a hefsek in the bracha. It's a problem. Distraction. It's a tedious process, and you get easy to get distracted. Brother, you shouldn't be texting, and meaning you're focused on the matter at hand. Now, if you do speak, it doesn't undo the bracha, but one should avoid speaking. That, however, if it's speaking that involves, it's needed for the bedika, you certainly can do that. You don't have to start, playing mimes or charades, with your wife or your whoever it may be, to tell them that possibly the flashlight, if you're allowed to use a flashlight. You can say it because that's part of the process of the bedikas chametz. What if you go to the bathroom? You can make an asher yatzar as well. If it's like you're in the shul checking, you can make you can say amen yeshmei rabba, thunder and lightning outside. You can make those brachas. The point is to try to be as focused as possible. No, until you finish your bedika, and then once you finish your bedika, whenever. No. There's the bracha we're making on searching. Then you can't have a hefsek until you begin to search, which is literally you begun. Just the same way, the same reason why you can't have a hefsek, you can't speak between saying ha'etz and eating the apple. Then we said there's an additional layer of not speaking, and that's not because of the bracha, just because you're involved in a laborious, tedious process, and if you start speaking, you might neglect to check. So we just say, try not to speak, meaning don't get distracted. Fine. One bracha is sufficient for the house, for the car, for the shul, if you have to come check the shul. Why? Because it's one mitzvah. And that's to search whatever is yours in your possession. The interesting post can bring up, and I think it's a bit of a they say a klutz kasha. You know what klutz kasha is?
A foolish question.
They say, if you make a bracha and sit this in your home, and then you go to the shul, you make a bracha again. So why is bedikas chametz any different? The answer is very simple, because it's every time you put on a new parrot, it's a new mitzvah. Whereas bedikas chametz, it's one big mitzvah to check, whether it's your house, your vacation house, your second vacation house, your private jet, or shul, whatever it is, that's what you have to do. Okay. What did you say?
I have to check my private jet.
If you have a private jet, you probably hired someone to do most of the cleaning already. And then you could do a quick look. You can do a quick look. That's just my own sock. Either way, you'll need it to get down to Florida for vacation. Okay, Gemara continues. This is as follows: Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel, Lil Abras Bokin 35 as a chametz l'ar haner. You should use a candlelight. Why use a candlelight, and not use a fluorescent light bulb? Why does the Gemara say a candlelight? Because
they didn't have
good. That's important. But why candlelight? Why not use the sunlight? So. First, the Gemara quotes Pesukim. So give me a second. So the Gemara quotes Pesukim for that. Then past Pesukim, Tadabon Ain Bokan Lola Arachama Lola Aravana. Don't use the moonlight, the sunlight, Lola Aravuka. Don't either use a torch. What's a torch? We know from Havdalah, it's a candle that has two or three wicks. Use a single wick candle. Why? El Arhaner, Vnesha Arhaner Yafal Bidika. Because the R of the Ner, single candle, is good for checking. Fine. So, but whereas in contrast to Havdalah, a avuka, a torch, meaning one of those, what do they call them? The tiki torches?
Tiki torches.
One of those, they're good for Havdalah. They're good for Havdalah. So what's wrong with using a torch? Is probably a brighter light. So Amar of Nachman, it's like, the yachlach nislachar was talking, and the yachlach was talking. Very simple. When it comes to searching the crevices and cracks, no one's going to take their tiki torch and put it beneath their fridge to look, because what are they going to end up doing?
Start a
fire? Yeah, exactly. So you use a single flame, which is controllable, but also light. What do you say?
I thought it's so you don't drive yourself crazy. Like, what you might see with a regular light versus what you're going to see with, like, a big bright torch.
Well, if you live in a home without electricity, yeah. Which is what the Gemara is talking about,
yeah.
You mean you'll see more with, no.
If you go that crazy to that level, you go to every single corner.
Well, you should. You should. You're doing a very thorough search, especially back then when in my house, you're doing a very thorough search. We found literally meals. Like, you can make a bris out of the amount of bagels that we found in our couches. The kids do. Fine. Rav Zvid Amar, Zeh Or Lefanav, Zeh Or Lachrav. He points out just also that by definition, torches tend to, they don't necessarily burn consistently. They're kind of like moving around. and therefore it's casting shadows, it's not as bright, whereas this is not. Fine. Well, so that's the next one. Once it's where the light's projecting, the last one is, again, it fluctuates. Fine. So what we see is as follows. The Gemara says use a single candle because that is, you're most likely to put that into a small area. Let's use a closet, okay? A closet's a good example. You're going to go in your closet with a candle. You're not going to go in there with an avuka. Also, in avuka, the lights are not consistent. So what about a flashlight? So if you asked me, I think the whole Gemara seems to indicate, the point is we want the most consistent, brightest light that you're not going to be concerned about causing a fire, which would mean that the flashlights that we have nowadays, these LED flashlights where you can literally point it and you can get, you know, make it brighter than bright, probably shouldn't be a problem. So the poskim, at least the early poskim, seem to be, they're unsure about it. They give a number of reasons. Liosh is like, so look, if you can get a focused light, then it's okay. Again, maybe he was looking at these flashlights back then that weren't as bright. Second here. I'm not on disturb. There we go. Okay. Rav Wozner's like, if you're afraid of fire, then it's okay. Look, so I didn't love this. It just seems like the Gemara is telling us to use a flashlight. No? That's the best. Look, give me a second. Let me finish here. So, I mean, our modern-day flashlights, you can focus. I texted Rav Bednarsh. All right, I asked, what do you think? And he said, the only reason to use a candle is if you think Chazal made a gezerah to use a candle. I mean, and once they made a gezerah, we don't uproot the gezerah. Because, but I'm not convinced of this, and therefore you should use a flashlight. So, I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman said, there is a takana to use a candle. Rav Bednarsh then said to me, I said, does anyone say that it's a gezerah? He said, not that he knows of, but, you know, they asked the Hasidim. They're into minhagim. But either way, I think the best approach is to use a flashlight, not to use a candle. I think, A, because it's a more focused light, it'll do a better job, and B, because it's safe. It's definitely easier. You're not going to drop wax everywhere. I think hands down, use a flashlight unless you have a very good insurance policy and you want to use it. Which? What do you say? If the kids like the candle more than the flashlight and you're inclined to allow them to use a candle, so you can light the candle and, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You had a comment?
Rabbi Katz?
Yes.
I had an unfortunate incident in my house around here, almost 2 years ago when Rabbi Katz was here. I had an oil spill in my house and they could, when the fire department said they came out, and they said they could still smell the fume from it, left the odor from it. So I told this Rabbi Hess, he said, use a flashlight.
Yeah.
You don't want to have a fire. If your house explodes, then the house on both sides of you is going to go also.
Rabbi Hess is a smart man for that, saying that. Okay. There is a minhag we are all aware of hiding 10 pieces of bread. Why are we doing this? So it's already brought down. It's brought down early. Why are we doing this?
So you can find hummus.
Right, so you can find chametz. Why? So that seemingly the idea is that if you're making a bracha, I'm searching for chametz, and then you don't find any chametz, it's a bracha levatala. However, the Kolbo already tells us.
But you're not making a bracha that you're searching for chametz.
We'll get there. You guys are ahead of me because you guys are have become tamani chachamim already. You're thinking right. You're thinking well. So the Kolbo also points out that even if you were to make that bracha, right, even if you are, the bracha is on the search. Meaning, I'm making a bracha that I'm searching. Whether I find or don't find, that's, you know, doesn't make a difference. The Taz points out that. The question really, I think, is why is this not a bracha levatala? Meaning to say, you're searching for chametz. The question is, why is it not a bracha levatala? Why? Because if you don't find anything. So there are a number of reasons brought down. One is, I think you could argue, the bracha is al biyor, right? The Taz says that, again, because as we said a minute ago, the whole thing is that the process, he says that you're going to leave chametz over, he says, for, you make the bracha al biyor, right?
Yes.
And you're going to have chametz to burn. Why? He says, because everyone wants to eat cherries for breakfast. Meaning you're not going to, if your whole house is spotless and totally clean, you're going to leave something over. Maybe you're not going to look for it, but you're going to leave something over for breakfast, and that you're going to destroy in the morning. So you made al biyor at night, but that's going to, you know, it's part of the process as well. That was his clever idea. Again, I think that Iker is the bracha is really on the search. That being said, the minhag developed to put out 10 pieces of bread. Chaz Nish didn't do it. He's like, you don't need to. Again, the whole idea is to search, so who cares if you find, if you don't find. You know, you go, you want to get fancy and razzle-dazzle, you got the Taz that says, either way, you're going to burn chametz in the morning, and the bracha can count for that. How do you know you're going to burn chametz? Because again, you're going to save breakfast. However, again, the Mig developed to put the pieces out. The Arizal talks about it, talk 10 pieces, there's Kabbalistic reasons behind it. Who should do it? So the Shaar HaTshuva says, the minhag always been the women are the one who do it. They always take it very seriously. They should put it out. Make sure to mark them and write down where they are, because you're into trouble if you don't lose them. If you lose them. The question is, what if, can you be the one? Can you just say, can I be the one to put it out there, or is that a problem? Because I'm the one searching. So, Chok Yaakov's like, no. If I know exactly where all the chametz is, it's not Badikas chametz. That's just retrieving the chametz. The Rav Yosef's like, no. The whole idea is that you're looking. So whether you're looking because you know where you're looking, or you're looking because you don't know where you're looking, that's fine. Therefore, you can all put it out.
So if you only look in those 10 places,
you don't fulfill your obligation. It's to motivate you to look. Again, there's a couple other reasons why you can do this. We have two reasons. One might be because of avoid brach levatala. The Maori Weil, who's one of the early, originators of Minhag Ashkenaz, said, no, the reason is because if you don't have 10 pieces in front of you, you might forget to do bittel. But having the chametz in front of you, going through the whole process, that reminds you to do bittel. What would be a nafkamina? I think a nafkamina would be, you have to put 10 pieces out if it's prior to 30 days prior to Pesach. If it's about the bracha, well, you're not making the bracha either way, so you're not doing it. Whereas if it's about reminding you to do bittel after, then you should also put 10 pieces out then as well. And again, the Shulchan Aruch points out, put it in a safe place. Don't put it somewhere where your kids can find, or where the mice can find, or you're in trouble all over again. And he points out here as well, what happens if you can't find them? So the Orlet Tzion or Tzion Abashal Misha Tznia Asar Pesizos B'dika Chametz V'lo Matzah Elatisha Itzniag. He only finds 9 of them. Happens every year. Kol Chamir. Yes. So Yesh Lo L'Chavish Lo Matzah V'im Lo Matzah Yismach Al Bittul Sham V'Dayo. You could do Kol Chamir exactly, and then you are good. Okay. So we didn't get to everything I wanted to tonight, so we're going to stop over here, and we'll do Bittul next time, and then begin the and then we'll see what we get. I guess we'll see what we get. Any questions, comments, or thoughts?